Well, if y'all are glad to be here this morning, say amen. Let's all stand this morning. We're going to open our service in a word of prayer. I appreciate what the Lord's already done for those of us who were at Sunday school, how good it was to be able to just gather together again in Jesus' name. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to ask Brother Clay Haynes if he will to open us this morning.
Lord, as we come to you this morning, we just want to say thank you for another day. Thank you for another Sunday here at Marble Baptist Church. Lord, I just ask that you make yourself present in this church today. Lord, have your will during this service. Lord, I ask that you be with the singing today as we sing. Lord, I ask you be with the preaching as John delivers us the message that you want us to hear today. Lord, I just want to tell you that we love you. I'm so grateful for you loving us and so grateful for the salvation that you've given us. Lord, just can't tell you how much undeserving we are, and Lord, just so grateful. Lord, thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you will remain standing, page 52. We do have quite a few on vacation, so we're not going to do a choir today, but appreciate Sister Michelle and her family playing for us today.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safe through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer to the Lord each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving prayer, hear my plea, my people plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I may be holy, thine, sing redemption soul someday. I will be a soldier brave and true and never firm, take a stand. As I homeward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving prayer, hear my plea, my people plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley, then toward the setting of the sun, lead me safe to a land of rest by a crown of life and won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land, by thy saving prayer, hear my plea, my people plea. Lord, dear Lord, look down on me when I kneel in prayer. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
You may be seated, page 137.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. us to rest upon His promise, just to know the simple Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I bring Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, hope for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, hope for grace to trust Him more.
Page 133.
I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Its glittering tires, the sun outshine. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Let others seek the home below. I feel like traveling on. Which flames devour or waves or flow, I feel like traveling home. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling home. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling home. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling home. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling home. Yes, I feel like traveling home. I feel like traveling home. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling home.
Let's do page 68.
Glad pilgrim on my way, going to glory land. Jesus, my only hope and stay, hold me by the hand. It's such joy to understand things that I never knew. my promise to the Lord. I'm going through. I'm His. What a wonderful feeling in my soul. He's mine. He decked me from the heat and cold. I'll do whatsoever He bids me, I will do. I know my Redeemer will lead me safely through. Walk with Jesus all the way, singing a happy song. Matters not if it's night or day, nothing can leave me wrong. Feeling His presence ever near, why should I weep or sigh? Knowing I have a home in glory by and by. I'm His, what a wonderful feeling in my soul. He's mine, He protects me from the heat and cold. I'll do whatsoever He bids me, I will do. I know my Redeemer will lead me safely through. Fully believing, trusting God, giving Him all the praise. Leading me from the paths I trod, hearing my voice I'll raise. He will be with me to the end, comfort me with His power. And He will be my closest friend in this dark hour. I'm His, what a wonderful feeling in my soul. He's mine, He's protected me from the heat and cold. I'll do whatsoever He bids me, I will do. I know my Redeemer will lead me safely through.
We'll do one more. Let's stand on it, page 167.
His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I'm free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the hand has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing, I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the hand has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the hand has never yet been told.
Amen. While she plays, if you have any tithes or offerings that you want to give, please bring them at this time and put them in the plates up front.
Thank you.
Amen. It's good to see all of you this morning. We appreciate every one of you being here. I got a joke for you. This old lady, her husband had been in the hospital, and on dismissal, they gave her a list of medicines she needed to go to the pharmacy and get filled. And so she got her husband home, and then she took off to the pharmacy, and she got the medicine, and she got back to the car and realized that she had locked her keys in the car. And the poor old lady, she was right there by herself, and she was distraught. She happened to see an old clothes hanger down there on the ground, and she picked it up, and she thought, I don't know how to do this. And she just lifted up her voice and said, Lord, please send somebody to unlock my car for me. And so in just a second or two, this old, big, burly of a fellow rode up on a hog. That's a motorcycle for those of you that rode up on that hog and just pulled, saw the lady standing there, and he got off his bike and he walked over and he said, ma'am, you got trouble? She said, yes, sir, my husband's at home. I need to get this medicine to him. I've locked my key. And he said, don't worry, I can unlock it for you. Took that clothes hanger, bam, no time, he had the thing open. And she said, Lord, thank you for answering my prayer and sending this nice, kind man my way. He said, ma'am, I'm not a nice man. He said, matter of fact, I just got out of prison yesterday for theft and breaking into cars. She said, Lord, thank you for sending me a professional. Yeah, man. So God's got his way of answering our prayers. Can I get a witness out there? As far as announcements go this morning, next Sunday after morning service, they're going to be having a shower here at the church for Miss Courtney. So remember that. June the 26th is our next ladies' meeting at 10 a.m. here at the church. We're having vacation Bible school scheduled for July 19th through the 23rd. On July the 18th, the Sunday before that, we'll be having homecoming here at the church. And thank God we're going to be having an eating meeting. Amen. It's been a long time coming. Long time coming. I'm ready for some more of that good old MBC food. Amen. And so remember all this. We got a lot going on for the summertime. So remember all of that. And remember to pray for all of these events.
Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, bless take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. There I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Love to hear Brother Brady sing. Means it from his heart. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 this morning, the gospel according to Matthew chapter number 7. If you're glad to be here, say amen. 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 Matthew chapter 7, when you find that in your Bible, if you'll stand to honor the reading of God's word, a thought that God's placed on my heart, and I pray that God would use it for his intent and purposes. It's always my prayer that the will of God be accomplished in every service, that it be all his. I want him to have preeminence. I want his will accomplished. I don't want anything of my thoughts and my order of things to interfere with what God is wanting to do. And I believe this, that God wants to work in every heart that's in this room. I believe that. I believe that. I believe God is that big, that he's interested in you. He's interested in your heart, your life, your pains, your troubles, your tears, everything about. David walked out on his balcony one night. He was looking up at all the vast creation of God, and he said these words. He said, God, what is man that thou, listen to what way he said it, what is man that thou are mindful of him? You know what that word mindful means? It means that his mind is full of you. What is man? What am I that you would even think of me? And to think that the God of all creation, his heart is fixed on you and everything that you're going through. Wow, what a God we serve. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. Matthew chapter number 7 this morning. It is a blessing to be here. We appreciate all the goodness of God in all of our lives. Matthew chapter 7. Aren't you glad God has blessed you enough to be here this morning? Woo! Had it not been for God protecting you and seeing you through the week, you wouldn't be here. You would not be here. But here you are, full of the blessings of God. We woke up to the new mercies of God this morning. They're new every morning that we wake up. Thank God for that. Matthew, I'm trying to get into my text. I'm nervous, and I got to talk chatter when I get nervous. Amen. Let me look at my watch. You know what that means? Not one thing. When a preacher looks at his watch, don't mean a thing. Amen. This means he's just wasting time, is all it means. Amen. Matthew chapter 7. two verses of scripture that we're going to be reading this morning, and we want to preach this thought that God's placed on my heart. And I pray that we would all pay attention to the message, the words of God. He said, beginning in verse number 13, this is Jesus speaking now. These are the words of Christ written in red. He says it like this. He said, "Enter ye." See how personal he can be. He's not preaching to another crowd, not preaching about those over across the way. He's preaching to those right in front of him. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." And this is the reason why. "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many, many, many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." I want to take these two verses this morning and preach with this thought on all of our hearts this day. On roadblocks to hell. Roadblocks to hell. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll bring you our thoughts for the morning. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we are a blessed people just to be able to get up and, Lord, get ready and come to the house of God. What a blessing it is, Lord, to be so blessed. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for it. And Lord God, as we gather ourselves around the good word of God, I pray that for a little while that, Lord, you would illumine our minds, that you would open our hearts, that you would do a work of God within every one of us this morning, that we all might hear what God has to say. I believe with all of my heart that you're still speaking. I believe, Lord, that you still have a lot to say to this generation of people. And Lord, I'm asking God for a little while that, Lord, you'd use this time that we've set aside down here on this earth. God, may the heart of God meet with us, Lord. May you move in a special way this day, and may we all know that God has visited his people. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being so kind to us. And Lord, add your favor and your blessings to every one of us. And we're thankful for what you'll accomplish and do for us. In the precious holy name of Jesus Christ, we pray and ask these things. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. In this text this morning of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is, if you will, winding up his thoughts. He began teaching and preaching to the people in Matthew chapter 5. This portion of scripture is his summation, is winding his thoughts up. And he's been preaching and trying to reach the hearts of every person that's in front of him. He's talked about the Beatitudes and what we call the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that do this, for they shall be that. He's talked about righteousness, personal righteousness. He's talked about the law. He's talked about grace. He's talked about so many things. And now the Lord is summing up all of his thoughts and bringing it home to the people that are in front of him. And he says these words. He said, be sure that you enter in at that straight gate. And he said, because there's a highway out there that leads to destruction. And he said, you need to get off of that road to destruction and make sure that your life is on the road that leads to life. Jesus Christ is not playing with the crowd that's in front of him. He's not just saying things to be eloquent in his speech. He's trying his best to reach the crowd that is in front of him. And he said, I want you to know that there are two highways in life. And one is a highway of destruction and hell. And the other one is a road that leads to eternal life in heaven. As I got to thinking about that, I began thinking of the different highways that we have in life. There's many, many popular highways. There's old Route 66. And some of you may remember hearing it sung about on some movie. I can't even remember the name of a movie, but they sang that little tune, Get Your Kicks on Route 66. Route 66 used to be called the Main Street of America. It ran from Chicago, Illinois, all the way to Los Angeles, California. It was a very popular highway in its day, and many traveled. There was many people who made a lot of money on Highway Route 66. And then there's old US 1. And it's still to this day, US 1 is the longest north to south highway in America. US 1 runs all the way from Maine all the way to the bottom of Florida. Many have made a living by establishing businesses along US 1. Matter of fact, US 1 runs right through the middle of Waycross, Georgia. It's called US 1 and 23 by the time it gathers together there in Waycross and goes on into Florida. And then there's the Audubon. Oh, 8,000 miles road over there in Germany with no speed limit. Oh, how I'd love to get Brother Warren's Corvette on that one. Can I get a witness right there? I mean, there's many highways. There's the Blue Ridge Highway that's known for its beauty, and I'm sure that most of you here have been on parts of that highway. There's many highways in our life, but Jesus draws on the fact that there are only two highways in life, and one road which we are all born on is the road that leads to destruction. It's a road that leads, its final destination is an awful place called hell. Then he talked about this road to life. He said, be sure that you get off of that road to destruction and get on the road to life. He said, make sure beyond any other, with all means and all heart about yourself, he said, make sure that you get off of this road and get on the road that leads to life. Jesus Christ is, as I said, trying his best to reach his audience that is in front of him. He's, if you will, he's trying his best to throw up a caution. He's trying his best to throw up a caution, a roadblock in front of these people, making them aware of this road to destruction. When I still lived in Waycross, I'd been over at a meeting over in Glenville, Georgia. I was coming back late one afternoon from that meeting and traveling along this. All the roads in South Georgia are flat and straight. I told him, I said, you can actually drive in South Georgia by sight. Now up here in North Georgia, you got to drive by faith. You top them hills and you don't know, you got to drive by faith up here. And I was coming back from Glenville to Waycross and coming along there just minding right by myself, just minding my own business. And all of a sudden there appeared this caution sign, blinking lights, bright yellow lights blinking and big bold letters written, danger ahead, detour ahead. Bridge out, and it was letting me know that in just a few miles I was needed to get off the road that I was on and go a different route. You know, I could have ignored that warning. I could have driven on through that roadblock. I could have driven on by that warning sign. I could have gone past those flashing lights. I could have gone past the big bold letters. And I could have driven my own way, done it my way, and ended up damaging myself and possibly even destroying my life. And in this thing called life, there's two highways. We are all born on the wrong highway. Every one of us are on the road to destruction. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all begin this life thing on the wrong road. And Jesus says, make sure. Don't just change lanes. Don't just pass somebody and go on your way. But he says, make sure you get off of this road that leads to destruction and get on the road that leads to eternal life. And he says this, he says that many, many will stay on the road to destruction. Many will go by the roadblocks. Many will just avoid the dangers. Many will just smirk at the caution lights. Many will end up destroying their lives. He said, but there's a few in life that will listen to me. There's a few that will listen to the cautions. There's a few that will listen to the warnings, and they'll get off of that road to destruction and get on the road to life. Wednesday night, Brother Titus preached for us. Brother Titus was preaching in his sermon. He gave us a testimony of his personal salvation. He talked about being raised a preacher's kid, being raised in a preacher's home, and how that he thought that he was all right because of his raising. He thought that because his mom and dad were good people, and his dad especially was a preacher and had been raised in church all his life, he knew how to stand up when it was time. He knew when to sing the songs. He knew when to shout. He knew how to say amen. But he gave this testimony that God began dealing with him about being lost. And he wrestled with that and the things that God did in his life to convince him that he needed to be saved. He made this statement. He said, I went to God that night and I called upon the Lord because I did not want to go to hell. And I got to thinking about that statement when he made that statement. And I've heard others that have criticized preachers and people who will get up and say, I didn't want to go to hell, so I called upon the name of the Lord. I too am one of those that did not want to go to hell, that did not want to burn forever in a lake of fire. And I went to God one Sunday night and I called upon the name above all names, that name, by the way, which is the only name that will save. And I called upon the name of Jesus Christ and he saved my soul. Thank God today, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm not going to hell. I'm glad I know that I know that I know that I'm on my way to heaven. And thank God he got me off of the wrong road. Hell is a horrible thought. Somebody spending eternity in hell. Jesus Christ spoke about hell more than he spoke about heaven. Hell is no laughing matter. Hell is not a joke. Hell is not a cuss word. Hell is not something to be taken lightly. Hell is a real place in the heart of this earth that burns forever and ever and ever. And people who reject Jesus Christ wind up in a place called hell. Hell is a horrible thought. According to Jesus Christ, hell was made for the devil and his angels. Jesus said that the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone was created for the devil and all of his angels. To think about this, that man was not made for hell. Hell was not made for man. And for any person to wind up in this place called hell is for them to spend eternity in the wrong place. It's for them to spend eternity in a place that was made for the demons of hell and not man. And then to think this, that hell has no doors to it. It has no back gates. There is no pardon. There is no release. There is no relief in this place called hell. Hell is a horrible thought for anybody to honestly consider. It's a place that burns with fire and brimstone every moment of its existence. People have been going to hell for centuries upon thousands of years. They've been burning in hell. Jesus Christ in Matthew 16 told about a rich man that died and went to hell. He's never named. He's never called by name, but just said that rich man died and went to hell. And he's in hell today. He's still burning. He's still crying out. He's still weeping and wailing and gnashing his teeth. Hell is a horrible thought when you think about it. And Jesus Christ in this passage is trying his best to throw up a roadblock to his audience. Trying his best to put up a caution sign. Trying his best to warn those that are in front of him about the road that leads to destruction. For a little while, I want to preach just a thought about God's roadblocks to hell. I want to say, number one, that God's roadblocks to hell, I want to preach just about a few of them this morning. Number one are the canon of scriptures. All through this Bible, God has warned man over and over and over and over. And he's had preacher after preacher after preacher stand with a holy Bible in his hand and get up and preach to audience after audience after audience and trying to reach the hearts of every person that they've preached to and warn them about a place that is called hell. Can I tell you that this Bible is many things, but one thing that it is a warning to man to get off of the road to hell and get on the road to eternal life. It is a warning. The very first warning that God ever issued to man is found in Genesis chapter 2. No sooner had he created Adam and Eve, no sooner had he reached down and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life into that man, and man stood up a living soul, God warned him. Why did God have to warn him? Because there is a real enemy by the name of Satan that tries to blind people, that tries to keep them blinded to the warnings and the cautions and the roadblocks that God has set up. And God is still in his mercy and in his grace trying to reach people's hearts, trying to give preachers messages and telling them to preach to the people. God is still trying to warn his people that you need to get off that road to hell and get on the road to heaven. God is so serious about this thing called hell. One passage after another. Titus said something Wednesday night that just struck me. And I know he's such a wonderful preacher. He's got a way of saying things and they're so simple and then bam, they explode in your spirit. And you realize how profound they are. And he said this. He said, Satan can do nothing about his destiny. It is sealed by the word of God. Satan is going to hell. There's not one thing that can change that destiny. He said, but what he can do is take you with him. What he can do is do everything in his power to take you to hell with him. And you know what the number one reason for wrecks in life are? I'm talking about on the highway of cars. You know what the number one The number one reason that people have wrecks in vehicles is distractions. They get distracted with their phone. They get distracted inside the car. Maybe a child gets to acting up or something. Distractions, they say, are the number one killer of people in wrecks out there on the highways and byways. And can I say this? That Satan will do everything that he can to distract you and get your mind on something else, to make you think it's never going to happen to me. I will never wind up in a place called hell. But if we could lift the lid off of this place called hell and listen to what hell has to say today, there's people down there screaming. There's people that's weeping and crying. I never thought that it would happen to me. I never dreamed that I'd wind up in this place called hell. And there they are for all of eternity. Why? Because they went by the book of the Son of God. They went by the book of God and they would not listen to his warnings. I remember listening to an old preacher preach one time. I'd been told about this preacher. And I found the message and I listened to him. And this actually happened during his service. He was preaching to a crowd of people. There was a lot of church people there. There was a lot of lost people there. And he was preaching a message about hell. And he preached, and you could tell during the invitation that the convicting power of God was on people. I mean, people were sitting there and you could see on their faces that they were under conviction of God. And you could tell by listening to the message and the way the preacher was preaching that people were resisting. Maybe they were holding on to the pew in front of them. Maybe they were doing other things. Maybe they were just sitting there, would not respond. And that preacher took his Bible and he went and placed it at the exit door at the back of that room. And he opened it up and he laid it on the floor. And he said, if any of you walk out of here lost, you're going to have to walk over God's word to do so. He said, if any of you leave this room lost, without God, without Jesus in your heart, you're going to have to walk over God's word to do so. And did you know there was people in that room that still did that? That Bible laid up open on that floor in that back room, and people walked out of that room lost and on their way to hell. That you may make fun of it. You may think it'll never happen to me, but I'm preaching with everything that's in me this morning to warn you that there is a place, an awful place called hell, and we need to get off the road to destruction and get on the road to life. The canon of scriptures is God's first roadblock. The next roadblock that I want to mention to you this day is the roadblock of the cradle of a special child. Courtney, Miss Courtney is due with child about how long? 6 weeks or so now? About 6 weeks, we rode by your house last night. Nathan took us by and showed us where y'all building at. I want it. Me and Miss Debbie will move in if y'all don't want it. They're building them a little place for their family. Got their third child on the way expecting. There's nothing any more precious than expecting a child. Seeing a lady get great with child. Well, we've had some in here get great with child. I know why they call it that now. And nothing any more exciting than to know somebody's carrying a child. And then that little child to come in. Do you think about God's son? They couldn't tell anybody that they were having a child. The law demanded that if anybody was found in the way like Mary was, that they would be stoned to death. Mary couldn't go around and give out invitations to come to her shower. She couldn't tell anybody. Nobody could know down here on earth. Nobody could know about it. Matter of fact, Joseph was minded to put her away privily. The Bible says he was going to just just do away and just disannul the marriage. But then the angel of God said, no, 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 no. This thing in her is of the Holy Ghost. This thing is of God. And God brought his darling son into this world. Matter of fact, the night that he was born, earth didn't think anything of it. It was just another night on earth. But in heaven, all of heaven was rejoicing that the Son of God had made his way to earth. Oh, to think about it, that God's only begotten Son. This was not one of many. This was the only son that he had, the only child that God had. And God, as a gift to mankind, sent his son into this world. And he let man do as man would with him. The cradle of a special son. Courtney, you got your room ready for the little baby. Got that? got that bassinet ready. Got it? Maybe. they prepare, do all this preparation to lay that little child sin out. I was thinking about Jesus. There was no balloons on the mailbox. There was no. Baby showers. There's no gifts. But God gave the greatest gift to this world. There was no fancy bassinet. There was no oak, stained in light oak, wooden bed for that baby. He was born and laid in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. He came into the filth and slime of this world. And it was had to be so. Because we couldn't get to God, so God came to where we were. God gave his only begotten son. God gave the only son he had. The only one that he had. He gave the best of his heart. He didn't give some other individual. He gave heaven's best when he gave Jesus Christ to this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Oh, what a gift God has given us in Jesus Christ. You know what that cradle is? It's a roadblock. The lights are flashing. This child came into this world like no other child. This child was a virgin born. This child was Holy Ghost conceived. This child was not just a regular child of like we see so many times. This was a special child. This was God's son, God's eternal son that he sent into this world. And there he is, laying in a little manger, God's eternal son. Which leads me to say this, another roadblock that God has put up in this world is not only the canon of Scripture, not only the cradle of a special son, but then I want to say this, another roadblock that God has put up before this world is the cross of a suffering lamb. Think about it. The reason Jesus Christ came into this world was to die for me and for you. He came into this world and shed his precious blood. And it had to be that way. God dying for man so that man could live with God. God coming into this world and dying and taking all of our shame, taking all of the torment that we should suffer so that you and I could be saved by grace. I was reading the other day an article written by an Orthodox Jew. And I saw the thought process of a man trying to live under the law. And he said he was talking about the day back in history whenever God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And he talked about Moses and going down there and all the 10 plagues and all of that. And then he talked about how God had told them, the Jewish nation, to select a lamb. And the lamb had to be a certain lamb. It could not be just any kind of lamb. It had to be inspected and had to make sure that it had no spot or blemish on it. And they were to take that lamb and they were to take it and slit its throat and kill that lamb. And they were to gather the blood and then take some hyssop. And he drew out how that they would have to go out in the field and cut hyssop out and bunch it together and wrap it together to make a bundle to where they could dip it in the blood. And then they had to take that blood and wipe it across the top and wipe it on down on both sides. And then he made this statement. He said, can you imagine how wore out we were by the time the death angel passed through? He said, we had worked so hard to make sure that our salvation was insured. We worked and did all of that to make sure that the lamb was just right, to make sure that the lamb had been killed, the blood had been applied. And he made this comment. He said, by the time we closed the door and walked inside the house, he said, we were literally wore out. That's trying to get saved by the law. I'm glad I'm saved by grace. Woo! You say, what did you do to get saved? I just asked him. I just simply asked him, and I trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ, all that he has already done for us. You see, there's a big difference between religion and salvation. Religion is man trying his best to please God by being what he calls good. But man can never be good enough. You cannot be good enough to reach heaven. You'll never get to heaven and say, look at me. I made it because I was good enough. Every person in heaven is going to point to Jesus Christ and say, we're here by the grace of Almighty God. I don't deserve to go to heaven. You don't deserve to go to heaven. And God put up the roadblock of the cross and said, please look. The lights are flashing. The letters are in big letters. The cross of Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus have to die such a horrible death as no man ever died before? Because God wanted us to see this roadblock. Satan will try to blind your eyes to what God has already done for you. He'll make you think that what you've got to do is got to be a good person or be a church member or get baptized. He'll put up all these distractions around you and make you think that you can do something to be saved. There's nothing you can do other than call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. The canon of Scripture. The cradle of a special son, the cross of a suffering lamb. Larry King was a great interviewer. Is Larry King still living? Does anybody know? He died. Larry King was a great interviewer. He interviewed politicians, celebrities, explorers. If anybody did anything of notoriety, he would interview them and he would ask them questions that would get them talking about things they normally wouldn't talk about. And Larry King would interview the greatest of the great. And one day, somebody toward the end of Larry King's life, they interviewed Larry King. And they asked Larry King this, said, Larry, if you had the opportunity to interview God, what one question would you ask him? Larry King was a Jew. He was a Jewish man. And he had heard about Jesus Christ. And this is what he said. He said, if I ever had the opportunity to interview God, I'd ask him this one question. Did you really have a son? You see, people know. People know that God sent His Son into this world. And there's many, even the devils believe and tremble. But you see, you've got to do something with this Son. You've got to believe in Him. It's not just enough, as Brother Titus said, to go there on the coattails of your dad. You can't go there because mom and dad are saved. You can't go there because you're a member of Murrayville Baptist Church. You can't go there because Brother John has baptized you. You can't get there because you're just a good person. You must come by the way of the cross if you're ever going to be saved. Then I want to say finally, another roadblock that God has put up in life is the church of the saints. If there's anything that is despised today, it is the church of Jesus Christ. This world hates the church. They're doing everything that they can to try to quieten the church and censor the church today. And I know that many churches have turned into social clubs. And I know many preachers have quit preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But as long as we've got breath, we need to be a church that'll make a difference in this world. When I still pastored in Waycross, I've told this story before, but it's just befitting right here. Me and the family, it was a Sunday night service at Bible Baptist, and right after the service, my family and I we already had the car packed, our van, and we were leaving after church that night and headed straight to West Virginia. And we had to be up there that next Monday morning to start a meeting. And so we had that in our minds. I preached that night, and then at the close of the service, I had us all to sing that song that we've sung around here. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody touch me. Glory, glory, glory. Somebody. Then we sing it like this. It was on a Monday. And everybody that got saved on a Monday will stand on that chorus. Somebody touch me. It was on a Monday. And then we'll go through every day of the week. It was on a Tuesday. Somebody, and those that got saved on a Tuesday, if they know. Then we even have one line in it for those that don't remember the day. I don't know what day it was, but somebody touched me. And everybody that doesn't remember the exact day will stand up on that line of that song. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. And we ended the service with that song. People were standing up all around the service, and I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to it. We closed out the service. We said our goodbyes, and me and the family jumped in the van and took off to West Virginia. I come back at the end of that week, and somebody phone called me and said, "Preacher, I need to tell you this." Said, "You know so-and-so in the church?" I said, "Yeah." Said, "Well, he got mad at you, and he said he ain't coming back to church." You know, they always get mad at the preacher. The preacher did this. Preacher didn't do that. They always get mad at the preacher. And I said, "What about?" Said, "Well, you'll just have to go and talk to him about it." Said, "He ain't coming back." Well, he and his wife had been coming to church for quite some time. And his wife had gotten saved, and she was precious, had spina bifida, had a hole in her spine, and she walked kind of funny. She was a precious, precious lady, and so sweet and mild-mannered, and she had gotten saved. Well, her husband, would never move. I mean, I'd see him sometimes, and you could see him clutching the pew in front of him, just holding on to the pew. He would not move. And so I went to see him, and I said, "Brother," I said, "I understand you got mad at me." I said, "What about?" He said, "Well, you sang that song at the close of the service that night, and glory, 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 somebody touched me." And he said, "That's a song for saved people." He said, "I'm not saved," he said, "so I couldn't participate." And he said, "I wasn't going to be a hypocrite and just stand." He said, so while everybody else was standing there, I was seated in my pew. He said, it embarrassed me because you made a difference between being saved and being lost. I thought a lot about that statement he made to me that day. And I said, God, please help me always to make a difference between being saved and being lost. For 30 some odd years, I've been preaching, and all I've wanted to ever do was feed the sheep and see people get saved. All I've ever desired, I've not desired. When I first began, I just knew I was going to be another Billy Graham. I just knew I'd have to stand on the platform with my arms crossed and say, you in the top bleachers, as you make your way down, take you about 10 minutes to get down here, but we'll wait. I just knew that was going to be my life. No, I didn't. But all I've ever wanted to do is just preach the truth and see people get saved and the sheep get fed. There was a popular group, rock group. They were a rock group called AC/DC. How many of you have ever heard of that rock group AC/DC? They were a popular group back in their day, and they sang a song, Highway to Hell. I want to read you some of those words to their song that they sung. And I mean, it was like their national anthem. It was like their theme song. They played it everywhere they went, and everybody in the crowd would go nuts when they sang it, and they would cheer, and they would chant, and they would sing it with them. They knew every word to every line that they sang. Here's the words to that song. Living easy, loving free, season ticket on a one-way ride. Asking nothing, leave me be, taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason, don't need rhyme, ain't nothing that I'd rather do. Going down, party time, my friends are going to be there too. I'm on the highway to hell, on the highway to hell. Highway to hell, highway to hell. No stop sign, speed limit, nobody's going to slow me down. Like a wheel going to spin it, nobody's going to mess me around. Hey, Satan, paying my dues, playing in a rocking band. Hey, mama, look at me. I'm on the way to the promised land. I'm on the highway to hell. Highway to hell, don't stop me. I'm on my highway to hell. People down through the years have mocked the roadblocks that God has put up along this way of destruction. They have laughed and scorned and said, oh, religion is just man's attempt to scare people. Oh, no. It ain't got nothing to do with scaring people. It's got everything to do with telling people truth and the truth setting them free. As we stand across the auditorium, Sister Michelle, would you come and just gather something? Brother Terry, could you get something just to sing for us for an invitation before we dismiss this morning? God's roadblocks to hell. I want you to bow your heads. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed just for quiet moment. I know I've done some hard preaching, but I've done it because I love you. But more than that, I've said what I've said because God loves you. I want to ask you something. Are you certain? Are you beyond a shadow of a doubt? Are you certain you're going to heaven when you die? If they called me tomorrow and said, Brother John, we need you to preach the funeral of so-and-so, would I be telling the truth if I got up before those people and told them that you're in heaven? Would I be telling the truth about your life, your eternity? If you don't know that, if you can't say that honestly, I'm begging you, whether you be young, old, male, or female in this room, I'm begging you, please make it right. Please, please trust Jesus Christ. Don't play games along this highway. It leads to destruction. It leads to an end called hell. If you need to come this morning, would you come? I wouldn't care what anybody thought about me. You know what Titus said? Titus said this. He said, I just got over what other said. The pastor's son's supposed to be saved. He said, but I just got over what people would say about me. He said, I decided I was going to get saved no matter if they made fun of me or not. If you're here this morning, you're not certain that you're saved. You're restless right where you're at right now. God dealing with your heart right where you're standing. Inside, there's something just stirring and churning. Wonder, oh God, could it be me? Could it be me? If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seat and come and ask Jesus for help. Would you do that? Would you do that right now? Don't play games. Don't play games. Jesus isn't playing games when he taught what he did. Church, could we come down here and pray for those that we know that's on the highway to hell? Could we be a church that truly will make a difference? Could we be a people that has enough heart about us to pray for those that we know are going to hell? Would you come and let's pray that God would send old time conviction again. It's going to take a man and God. Would you come this morning, church? If you need to be saved, would you please come this morning? Come. Satan will try to distract you. He'll try to distract you, get your mind on something else. Cleanse every spot. This morning, I'm glad a preacher gave an invitation for me. I'm glad a church was making a difference, and I went to visit them. Heads bowed and eyes still closed this morning. How many of you this morning would lift your hand and say, preacher, without any shadow of doubt in my mind, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved. And here's my hand. I know that I am. Here's my hand. I want to raise my hand just as a testimony that I know, that I know, that I know that I'm saved. Here's my hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Is anybody this morning that slip up your hand? You can put your hands down. Is anybody this morning slip up your hand and say, preacher, I can't say that. I don't know if I'm saved or not. Preacher, I can't lift my hand and say with assurance that I know that I'm saved. Anybody in this room, anybody at all, anybody at all. Preacher, pray for me. I'm not certain. Not certain. Anybody? anybody. Heavenly Father, we thank you and love you for being good to us. Thank you for being kind and gracious. Thank you, Lord, for dealing with my heart that day about getting off that highway to hell. God, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord. Father,